The Anshei Knesset HaGedola were the group of people that lived after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash while we were in exile, the 7 years of exile, the Purim story. And led by Ezra, they came back to Eretz Yisrael and rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash. One of their many contributions to the Jewish people, besides building the Beis HaMikdash, was they established a Siddur. They established the text of our Siddur, of our Shmona Esrei. And the Mabit, a commentary that lived in the 1500s, asks the following question. He says, if the Anshei Knesset HaGedola were the ones who wrote the Siddur in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, when the second Beis HaMikdash was standing, so then what does it mean in Shmona Esrei when we ask, V'Yerushalayim Ircha Berachamim Tashuv, we daven to Hashem that He should bring us back to Yerushalayim. We were here already. We were back. The Beis HaMikdash was built already. And he asks many other types of tefillos that we have. How do they make any sense? And he answers that although we had the second temple, it was here and standing, but at the end of the day, there wasn't shalom. There wasn't peace. And we were still at the hold of the kings of Paras, of Persia, and the Greeks. And in the times of the Hashmonaim, there were wars. There were internal wars within the Jewish people, with the Tzedukim. Things were not easy. There was lots of intense, we call it disharmony, but it wasn't just people not getting along. We were fighting. We were in a very, very terrible state. And therefore, we were davening for us to be able to have the original state. And we were in control, and we were able to do what we pleased, and we were able to continue in our pursuit of our mission, of the Jewish mission. Based on this, Reb Chaim Kanievsky explains something very fascinating. The Rambam writes in his commentary on the Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah that even during the second Beis HaMikdash, well, the Beis HaMikdash was here, the Jewish people observed Tisha B'Av. They fasted and observed Tisha B'Av when the Beis HaMikdash was here. And he explains, because we were still being persecuted. We were still being challenged in every walk of life. In fact, the Malbim tells us in his commentary on Daniel, in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Dalet, he says that in the Tochacha, in the rebuke, that in the Torah and Parshas Pechukosai, the Kina that we're about to recite, Kina number 9, that's what we're going to start with, not 10, that it says in the sheet. The Kina number 9 speaks about the Tochacha, the prophecy that says in the Torah of what it will be like if we don't keep the Torah, if we don't keep the mitzvos, all of these horrible curses that are going to befall us. And in the Tochacha, in Parshas Bechukosai, in Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Lamed Hey, the Torah talks about the fact that the Jewish people will not in the future be keeping the Shemitah year, the seventh year of the seven-year cycle, when a person, a farmer, is supposed to leave his land fallow. You're not allowed to plant, you're not allowed to plow, just have to let it go. And for 70 years, 70 Shemitah cycles, the Jewish people were not keeping Shemitah. They weren't observing this law. And the Tochacha says that you're going to go into an exile, and then when you're out and no one's on the land, so then the land will be able to rest the way it was supposed to be. And Rashi says that just like we didn't keep 70 cycles of Shemitah, we would have to be in exile for 70 years. And the Malbim says that we weren't just not keeping Shemitah. There were other sins that people weren't doing. That they were doing. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Raos, Shfichas Damim, and other things. And therefore, he says that we didn't just have to need a tikkun to fix those 7 years of Shemitah, but if 70 times 7, because you have to add in all the other years that people weren't doing the mitzvos, equals 490. And the Malbim tells us that that's why, from the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, 70 years plus the 420 years of the second Beis HaMikdash, all of those 490 years were still coming to fix all of the issues that caused the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, even when the second Beis HaMikdash was here, we were observing a Tisha B'Av, and we were still fixing and paying the price for what happened beforehand. So we see from here that it's not just that we're mourning the temple. People go around, they might ask you, what is this thing, Tisha B'Av, that you're observing today? Oh, the temple was destroyed, so we're mourning the destruction of the temple. That's not fully true, because even when the temple was here, we were mourning. We were still fixing what happened beforehand. And therefore, really what's going on is what we're mourning and we're supposed to think about and contemplate is what caused us to go into the exile, and what is exile supposed to mean to us? We're still in it now. Even after those 490 years, obviously we weren't ready for it. So what's it about? So Moshe Shapiro used to explain that exile is really the reverse of a natural cycle of life, the way things are supposed to be. And by altering the normal routines, by things not being what we feel good about, that helps cultivate our emuna. It helps us allow to believe in what we're supposed to believe in. The whole idea of Shemitah is, at first glance, makes no sense. I'm just going to leave my land fallow. I'm not going to plant. I'm not going to, how in the world am I going to eat? According to the natural order of the world, the way things are supposed to be, you have to plant in order to be able to eat. If I'm going to leave a whole year fallow, nothing is going to come from it. So what's Shemitah supposed to do? It's supposed to develop our emuna. When that falls, when our emuna is not being cultivated, so Hashem puts us into exile in order, it's not just a punishment, it's in order to help build our emuna. A believer, someone who has emuna, understands that his existence is dependent and conditioned on something above ourselves. We're sustained and created every single moment by Hashem. A non-believer, he sees his existence as independent. It's all about me. What are my needs, and how am I going to continue doing what I have to be doing? Exile is a situation where the outside system, the place where we are, works against us. We don't live in our natural land. We don't feel comfortable there. It goes against the natural of being. We are dependent on others. Can't just do as we please. We don't feel masters. We don't feel in control of ourselves. And we're an insignificant part of all those people that are controlling the area around us. Do we really matter? It's almost like being a slave. A slave is in the house of his master. He has to do whatever he has to do there. Not in control. Can't have the relationships that he wants to have. A person in galus, a person in exile, feels that he lost his existence. He loses himself. In exile, a person has two choices. He could go in one of two ways. He could submit to the situation. He could accept his enslavement and lose his self of being, self of who he is, self being of a person. Or he could totally change his mind. He could rethink what's going on, and he could realize that all that reality that's around us, the people that are in control of us, the experiences that we seem to be having, the influences that we seem to be having, is not there to enhance my experience, enhance me, but I'm really part of something much higher. I'm not really living here. I'm above this. My emuna takes me to a higher place above what's here. And in that higher place, where Hashem is in control, Hashem is the one creating me every moment, I'm in a whole different place now. I'm not in the hands of the what's around me. So Hashem says to the person that doesn't have emuna, I'm going to put you into exile, and I'm going to show you that you're not in control. I'm going to show you that it's not about your own independence. And a person has to make sure not to get lost. 4/5 of the Jewish people in the exile of Egypt stayed there and got lost there. Because they didn't have the emunah in Hashem. It was only the 1/5 that had emunah that ended up coming out. So while we're in the exile, we have to see that all of the persecution, the anti-Semitism, the difficulties that we're experiencing day in and day out, we have to realize that's there to push our buttons a little bit and make us feel like, I can't do anything about this. It's not about me. It's not about these people aren't here to help me. It's against me. So what do I have? I have emunah. I have my belief in Hashem. I'm above all this. I have a different purpose. I'm higher. I have different goals. And I have to make sure to try to achieve that. And the more a person builds their emunah, the more they're able to cultivate this emunah, so their whole existence changes. They're not bothered anymore about what the yeshiva serves for dinner. They're not bothered about the dorms. They're not bothered about certain relationships that they're in. They're not, these things don't bother them because these are just external things that are not in control of me. I'm above that. I have a relationship with God. I have a higher purpose. When you feel that way, so then things don't bother you. You're able to continue in your pursuit of your goals. You're able to be nicer to other people. You're able to appreciate other things that are going on. It lifts us above. And of course, the Baal Amunah, the person that has Amunah, says that, how could it be? It's so obvious. This is so clear to me. How could it be that other people don't appreciate this? How could it be that people don't know about this? And innately, we feel the need and the want to share with others, try to uplift others, try to allow other people to have Amunah so they could live that higher, more healthier lifestyle. And therefore, we have to take the message of the kina that we're about to read about the tochacha, which came true in the 70 years of exile. We have to take the message and realize that we have to work on our emunah. We have to work on our appreciation and understanding of Hashem every single moment of our lives. It's not just take a discovery seminar and say, okay, I now believe. It's how do you live with it afterwards? How do I remember that when someone gets me upset or hurts me, that I don't react with anger? Because I have emunah, and I understand what's supposed to happen, and I could take it from there. I could build, I could be nicer, I could be healthier. And the more that we work on that in our exile, and we don't fall to our exile, we'll be zoche, bez Hashem, to see the true rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash when there's no persecution, there's no anti-Semitism, and there are no difficulties, and we're able to live with Hashem in the clearest of ways.